Lupa gelar kata Adnan Matsuoka. Alai pakulat kata Meow, Neuromarvies. I hope you're having an autastic day. I was pondering what the theme for today's episode should be, and I think I'd like to address something that doesn't normally get talked about too much when you check out different podcasts and YouTube videos and such, and that is the infantilizing of the adult Asperger's or autism spectrum patient or client and or consumer and or person. But regardless of what you want to call the autistic, higher functioning autistic, actually all autistics, whether they're verbal or not, whether their IQ is above 70 or not, are subject to this, and that is being talked to as if they are an infant or a child, as if they can't hear you, can't understand you. I myself, I don't know, I consider myself fairly eloquent because I have to be to do some of the, to have been put in some of the roles that I have as a speaker in some cases, as a performer, and certainly as an author. I have to be eloquent when it comes to typing out my thoughts or writing them out. And yet, because of my autism, I have been talked down to on numerous occasions, or someone will speak to me as if I'm deaf and will over enunciate or kind of patronize me or condescend. Sometimes they're outright rude. You know, that happens too much these days after many, many generations of having an opportunity to treat autistics better. Sometimes they just don't. And I know for a lot of others, the minute they even mention to somebody that they're autistic, the whole demeanor of the person, of the listener, changes. And they start using overly simplistic terms for things. They lower their vocabulary level down to that of a first or second grader. They get up too close to the autistic person or speak too loudly or too slowly or all of the above. And when I make this known, when I tell somebody that it bothers me to be infantilized or talked down to because of my place on the spectrum or because of the fact that I'm on the spectrum, then the person realizes that they have to sometimes even go out of their way a little bit to address me on their own terms or to use, like, for example, if it's someone in psychology, if it's a psychologist, and I tell them, you know, I don't like talking to such and such a person because they patronize me so much, then she will go ahead and use what some people may consider jargon or whatnot, just to sort of prove that she understands that I understand everything, including some of the terminology that one would only really be exposed to if they were a psychologist themselves. Because I am 52 and I have been around the block, so to speak, as far as being hospitalized, being in some kind of inpatient treatment or day treatment or outpatient partial hospitalization, it has, for me, it has run the gamut. I think they sort of have an understanding that's where my own knowledge of the terms comes from, or because I do a lot of reading about psychology. I used to read more about it, but I used to just read everything I could get my hands on about bipolar disorder, because I was diagnosed bipolar when I was in my 20s. And that can be a subject for another episode of Neuromarvelous, but I know I'm not alone in this. And on the other hand, I also know that because of the sort of negative publicity that autism itself receives on a daily basis in any society that I can think of. I don't even know if culture has much to do with it, but with the exception of the type of Asperger's, when it was called Asperger's, that was considered high functioning even within the bounds of Asperger's itself. And then the person was treated like a savant, like a superhuman, the way that Hans Asperger himself presented the kids back in Nazi Germany. Of course, it turned out that he was a Nazi and participated in outright murder and eugenics, but that has been addressed on another episode, previous episode. But unless the person has that image in their head, sort of the Big Bang Theory character's image or something to that effect, they most likely are going to default to the patronizing way of communicating with the autistic. It's just how it is. When I went for my ADOS, I was talked down to after one of the tests involving interpreting a children's book or narrating a picture book, because basically the assessor was like, pretty silly, huh? And I was like, you know, I love art. I'm an artist, and that book was a really good representation of how it's possible to illustrate and how it's possible to get a message across using really rich, very well executed illustration. And then, so it sort of steered her onto a course of talking about my art, my visual art that I do, and what I use and what I like about it, and so on and so forth. So they know how to sort of catch up. But if, as an autistic person, you are able to express your symptoms and traits, talk about your stimming using the term stereotypy, for example, or self-stimulatory behavior rather than just my stims or my stimming, that can sort of signal to the person that you're in a conversation with that you have a higher level of vocabulary than they would otherwise assume. And we also have to cut them a little bit of slack, because they know not what they do, to use a biblical reference, because they don't. And if you're steeped in a culture that tells you that an autistic person is always going to be cognitively disabled, and that a cognitively disabled person is always going to need to be talked down to, then that's pretty much the party line that people are going to adopt. And you also kind of have to do some perspective taking, which I know is difficult for a lot of us as autistics, but put ourselves in the other people's shoes, if you will, and just say, hey, I've done that before in certain circumstances. I know that there have been situations where I myself have done that. I remember I had, in one of the jobs that I was doing, I had a customer who sort of had a slower way of talking with it just sort of signaled that the person had some intellectual disabilities. And when I slowed my own pace down and oversimplified my own vocabulary, then he kind of came in with a higher level of vocabulary to kind of signal to me that, yes, he had these problems, but it did not mean that I should change my own way of expressing myself to meet him where I thought he was at, because, you know, in reality, I don't know where he was in terms of his intellect. Just because someone is quote unquote slow doesn't mean they don't understand every single thing we're saying. And just because someone is autistic and even on what's considered the lower end of functioning, that also doesn't mean that they don't understand everything we're saying. And also there's tone of voice. There's body language. It's not all about what comes out of the mouth. So that's something to keep in mind, that as much as it bothers us as autistics to be talked down to, we probably have been put in the position of making a snap judgment about somebody else based on what was used to describe them, whether it was intellectually disabled or something else. I mean, there are people who, when they hear that someone is they're bilingual, but maybe they were born and raised in a country that had a different, that was using a different language. And then when they realized that the person was bilingual, they assumed that the person's second language was maybe not up to par, not on par with the person's first language. And I know for myself, I'm bilingual and I lived in Paris for 7.5 years. And when people found out that I was born and raised in the States and my first language was English, they came in with the assumption that they had to speak differently around me and that I couldn't understand everything they were saying, or I didn't have the same level of vocabulary that they did. But then they heard me speak and heard that, either depending on when it was, how tired I was, how stressed out I was, that I either had no accent at all or very little accent, and my vocabulary was just as good as theirs. And so they kind of synced up to my level, and the conversation could begin again on the right footing, if you want to call it that. So we all do it. We all need to make sure that we are treating each other as equals. When in doubt, maybe even err on the side of using vocabulary that might be above the other person's current vocabulary, because the alternative is speaking down to somebody. And as autistics, we all know that that's not something that we like. And I think it's just a good lesson. So those are my thoughts on the matter. I mean, I have more, but rather than getting into personal anecdotes, it would be more interesting for me to find out what your experiences are and to engage you in the conversation, especially since this is a relatively new, actually it's a very new podcast, and I'd like to get listener participation up. I'd like to get listeners there here in the first place, but participation is really important to me. And I know that most of us, even if people can't surmise from the way we're speaking that we are autistic or that there is something different about us, the minute we tell someone we're autistic because we have needs that need to be met, accommodations and such, most of us know, unless someone is really kind of on the ball and maybe has a family member or a good friend with autism, they've been there. We've all been there. We've all been on the receiving end of some kind of patronizing or condescending attitude. So that's about all I wanted to say in this episode. And we're coming up on 15 minutes anyway. And with that, I will put together a theme for the next episode and wish you all an autastic morning, afternoon, evening, night, or just an autastic life, which I think is something great. And celebrating our autism is something that we should strive for, because it's not all about disability. It's also about strengths. Meow. Lupa buat kata Atman buat suka Sampai buat kata